Evolutionary.org presents Evolutionary Hardcore Podcast with your co-hosts, Steve from the American Underground and Mobster from the UK Iron Den. Get ready for the most hardcore and underground info in the industry. And here we go. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6...
And Evolutionary.org, Hardcore 2.0, episode 61, coming your way. Today, we're going to do an Anavar 2024 update, compliments of Para Pharma. Now, this is going to be a part one episode, 61. Part two is going to be the next one. You can check that out, you guys and gals out there. Part two is 62, and it's going to be about Winstrol. So we're going to kind of talk about, a lot of people think Winstrol and Anavar are similar, but we're going to talk about both. They have similarities, but they also have things that they're not similar with. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to give you the updated information for 2024 when it comes to these compounds. So it's going to be a really exciting show. I'm Mobster with me, and we're going to go over it. So let's jump right into it. Let's talk about Anavar. And it was eventually created by Dr. Papo, and he trademarked the name Exondrin, and now you see Exondrolone being the name that's out there. And we know it in the bodybuilding community as Anavar. We also call it VAR for short. So if someone says, hey dude, you know, I've been using VAR for the past 4 weeks, that's what they mean. They're talking about Anavar. So now this guy worked for a company called Serral Labs. He created Anavar in the early 60s, and he wanted to treat multiple diseases, including muscle wasting. And that's, you know, that's why these anabolic steroids, for the most part, were created. Muscle wasting, anemia, and people who were going through a weight loss where it was caused by a disease. Let's say they went from 200 pounds to 140 pounds or 130 pounds and just would drop in weight. This was a great way in those times. This is before they came out with better things to give people, quote-unquote better things, that didn't cause, that weren't hormonal. So now they use different drugs for muscle wasting and different strategies for muscle wasting to stimulate your hunger and all that other stuff. Back then, hormones were the big thing, you know? Then doctors were prescribing them for this reason. So he was part of the founders of the first few oral steroids to hit the bodybuilding scene. And Serral was merged or was bought out by Pfizer. And then Anavar got discontinued. Now, in the early 80s, go over a little history, you had the AIDS epidemic. And a lot of people who were around back then, especially in the United States, Mobster, know about AIDS. And they, some of them will actually remember that Anavar and Anadrol were prescriptions of choice when dealing with muscle wasting issues. Now, over time, again, people with AIDS are given other things now, which have less side effects, even growth hormone, for example, way less side effects than giving them either one of these. So where it's not going to shut them down, it's not going to cause liver toxicity and stuff like that. So the reason why Anavar, though, has really, you know, grown, and I'll bring in Mobster to talk about this, but Anavar, I'll give you a quick story about Anavar. When the whole steroid ban really took effect in the United States, okay, and this happened, you know, somewhere late 80s, early 90s, I believe early 90s, it was Bush, it was the first Bush who signed that bill banning it, and when that happened, Anavar became extremely hard to find. So really the only way you could get Anavar at that time was if you had a buddy who had some stashed away that he never used. So what happened around this time, the price of Anavar skyrocketed. And Anavar was so damn popular before that because it didn't aromatize into estrogen. It really helped with a lot of different things like fat burning and lean muscle mass that guys really loved. Not just bodybuilders that were pros, but also the common gym rat. That when it got banned, the demand was so high and there wasn't enough supply. So obviously the price shot up, right? So people were paying 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 times what they paid before if you were lucky enough to hold on to this stuff. And they couldn't produce it, you know? So there was no supply. So you had like 2 or 3 years where it was none of it was coming on the market. And then what happened was once it finally came back in the underground lab, started popping out, started producing it again, they were able to get the raws. The price was already so elevated that they just never brought down the price. So for years, and Mobster and I know this because Mobster and I have used Anavar over the years, we were paying a lot more for Anavar. Like compared to D-Ball, you're still paying three, four times the price.
Yeah.
So now you have companies like Parapharma that are producing, they're able to produce it in bulk and they're able to pass the savings on to you. So now Anavar has become affordable again. Back then, it wasn't affordable. The 90s and 2000s, Anavar was really hard to find. Like, if a guy wanted to run Anavar, then he went on the forum. He's like, I want to run Anavar 50 milligrams a day. People would laugh at him. They're like, dude, you're spending all that money on Anavar, you know, when you could just be using D-Ball and getting more gains because of the water retention, right? So that was the mentality. So Anavar really fell out of favor for a period of time, but now it's
faked
back.
Faked a lot then as well, Steve. We've talked about this on other shows. How many... I'm going to say that on a bunch of other shows that we've done this, it was probably the number one, certainly at that time, faked steroid. We talked about certain injectables that have, in fact, primobolan. We just did a podcast on that, Steve, as you know. And Primo, for one reason or another, wasn't that popular in the 90s and 2000s. Obviously, in the 70s and 80s, it was. So if you wanted to get hold of legit Primo, you had to really find a good source, again, like Parapharma, in order to make sure that the product you got that wasn't faked. Anavar was probably the number one oral, certainly in the same time scale that Steve just referred to, that was faked. And how many people got D-Bowl, Steve, instead? Because they could get D-Bowl easily, D-Bowl manufacturing, the powders, the raws easily, and it's super, super cheap to produce. You can probably double or triple your cost in terms of buying it in the raw form and then selling it on. So why would I want to get half that profit margin, half that money lost by not selling you D-Bowl as Anavar? So yeah, that's a big time. I think something else, Steve, and I want to touch on this a little bit because we're going to get into the back and forth. The whole, another part of the reason why Anavar became incredibly popular, and you and I will talk about our personal experiences and reasons for using it and what it's good for, this is this idea that it was safe. Okay, so I'll touch on that a little bit now. Right, this, as Steve said about not converting into estrogenic issues, et cetera, et cetera. The number one thing here is this idea that oral steroids are harsh compared to injectable steroids because of the methylization and a first pass for the liver, et cetera, et cetera. It's something that we've covered on other shows in depth. So Anavar of the oral steroids for the dosage, et cetera, was considered the mildest. And it's the reason why, and we'll get into this as well, where we recommend of oral steroids, especially, in fact, and injectables, as a steroid for women to use at lower dosages. And that came off a couple of things. It came off the simple effects. If you're using for a like-for-like amount against another harsher oral steroid, Anavar was showing less side effects and less issues. And I think the other thing was, and there's an article that we're going to refer to and attach to this show, talks about magazines like Muscle Media, openly, it wasn't the first one, but openly talking about steroids and specifically giving the recommendations at that time that Anavar was the mildest. Now, I know that the writer, the author of the article that we're going to associate with this show has actually changed his mind on that. But I've actually disputed this, and I'll cover this very quickly, Steve. On a milligram for milligram basis, and because of the way oral steroids are treated, yes, they are harder on the body, including Anavar, although less compared to others, against an injectable steroid. That's on a milligram for milligram basis, but the reality situation is thus, and I've touched upon this on the forums, you tend not to use as much oral steroids as you do injectable steroids. A simple low-dose stack of, for example, or not even a stack steroid would be a testosterone somewhere between 300 and 500 milligrams a week. And it's perfectly normal to hear of people using 500 milligrams a week as a starter steroid stack. It's real simple, something with a short, medium, or long acting ester, let's say for argument's sake, enanthate or cyprionate, something like this as a testosterone. And typically the recommendation would be for most people 500 milligrams a week. Now, if I use Anavar at the recommended daily dosage, which we'll touch upon, it's less than 500 milligrams a week. So on a milligram for milligram argument, fine. But on a how you use injectables, typical injectable stacks, typical injectable steroids cycle, et cetera, you tend to use more steroids, milligrams. It's as simple as that. So yes, if it's on a like-for-like basis, zero argument, oral steroids by their very creation in order to be used into the body, in order for that the milligrams of testosterone to be available for you to get bigger, stronger, leaner, et cetera, they have to be treated in such a way. Of the oral steroids, zero argument again, I would still say that Anavar, in my opinion, is probably the safest. There's bits and pieces again, and of course we will get into the why you would use Anavar against, say, for example, Debo or Anadrol or any of the other oral steroids that are available. And again, it's to depend on what you want from your stack and so on and so forth. I could argue against Steve because we sometimes describe Anavar as a cutter, and yet I use it for strength and for example, retaining lean muscle tissue, the gains, and so on and so forth. And we'll get into the specifics of that, obviously, in terms of the actual detail. But that's just to give you an idea of how it became popular, the arguments about safety, a little bit of the history, a little bit of the background. So if you want to expand on that, Steve, before we move on.
Yeah, I want to touch back on something you mentioned briefly about Anavar being faked. And this is important, too, because I want to be clear about this. This is an example of situations where people... they've used Anavar before. Maybe they used it in the 90s, maybe they used it in the 2000s, maybe they used it in the 2010s, maybe some of you younger guys have used it over the past 5 years, whatever. And what ends up happening is you use it and you're like, well, you know, Anavar sucks. I don't like this stuff. It doesn't do what I expect, or it might do this, or it might be do that. You know, I've seen people say, oh, Anavar bloated me. I've seen people say Anavar wrecked my joints. I've seen people say that Anavar did nothing for me, that I gained weight on Anavar, lots of weight. So what's happening there is you're not using real Anavar. And as Mobster mentioned, he mentioned it's the most faked oral steroid. Why? Because number one, it's expensive. And number two, what sources started to do in the 90s is they wanted to make money. So what they would do is they use either T-Bol, which is a very, very weak steroid. But I like T-Bol, by the way. I'm not insulting it by calling it weak.
Right. Yeah.
But I'm just telling you the truth that it's very, very weak, and you will run T-Bol by itself, even at 40 or 50 milligrams a day, and you won't see as much as with Anavar. But also, what they'll do, they'll switch Winstrol for it. They'll switch even D-Bol for it. Couple reasons for that. Number one, the sources don't care. Number two, they're incompetent. Number three, they don't know where their stuff is coming from. So it's not them purposely doing it in some cases.
Sometimes, yeah, exactly, Steve. What did they get? If the raws come from China, what did they get? Are they testing the raws, which they should, before
they're
managed?
And they're not going to do that because it cuts into their profits. So what happens is you may have used Anavar in the past, and I've been a victim of this myself. I've used Anavar in the past, and my appetite went up. Well, obviously, it wasn't Anavar that I was using. It may have been Anadrol. It may have been Debol. It may have been some other steroid. Or my joints have hurt. So really, at the end of the day, we're lucky today in 2024 that we have access to a good quality Anavar from Parapharma. Because Parapharma actually tests. There's some. We're going to talk about that later in the show as well. But Parapharma, when you buy Parapharma Anavar, you know you're getting good Anavar. And that to me is crucial. Because that prevents us from getting, you know, from getting ripped off. And, you know, that's how it should be, you know, and there's just no reason for any source today to be selling fake steroids. You know, shame on them, because we can send it off and be tested. So you're not going to trick anybody by selling fake steroids. So, Monster touched on that a little bit, but I think that's a big reason why Anavar, some people don't like Anavar, but at the end of the day, Anavar, the facts are, of all the oral steroids selling today, Anavar is number two, second most sold oral steroid, and it's one of the most expensive, really, of the main oral steroids out there. it is the most expensive, but it's still number two. So number one is the ball, because the ball is so damn cheap, and a lot of people like to bulk and get strength. But Anavar, the fact that Anavar is number two should tell you something. And if you haven't used Anavar before, you should use it. If you're a steroid user, you should use it, both male and female, because it's very popular for a reason. So it's definitely worth a shot if you haven't used it in the past. And if you're going to use it, Anavar Primo is definitely the one you want to take a close look at.
Yeah, I've touched upon this, and I think I'll say this again, just for this particular show, Steve, for the listeners' benefit. I said, number one is you've never had it so good. Your accessibility to good, meaning legit, properly dosed oral steroids, injectable steroids, has never been, or peptides or anything else for that matter that we might use in bodybuilding, weightlifting, strength, and so on and so forth, has never been as good as this particular point in history right now. Your access to information has never been as good as it is at this point in history right now. Even this show is a good example. You had nothing like these podcasts by anybody, never mind us, in the 80s and 90s. We were lucky that we had one magazine that was going into the nitty-gritty at that particular time. The others would deliberately ignore it. And yet that particular magazine ended up selling for hundreds of millions of dollars. So they did incredibly well, even though they shift their emphasis. So, and again, the fact that we have legitimate products from companies like Parapharma versus products that were being faked versus products that were underdosed is, again, just a sheer competition of other legit companies forces the other legit companies to be more legit. You have the accessibility to even, and we don't really like these as such, as we talk about on the forums, but even the tests that you can do in your own home you never had before, and even the tests that you can send off for to a proper lab used to be way more expensive than they are right now. Here in the UK, I believe we can access for a reasonable price the same labs that are used by our trading standards to test for food and products that are sold in the marketplace all over the world, but especially obviously here in the UK. You have the Food and Drug Administration in the States, but you don't really get access to those labs as such. But there are labs out there in America, Australia, and around the world that can be used. And on a cost per test basis, it's even, I think the price is about the same as it ever was. But of course, over the last 10 or 20 years, that means realistically, it's actually cheaper to do. So, you know, I think it's equivalent between what would have been the equivalent of $1,000 back in the day is now the equivalent of $100 or $200 for a proper test. So, you know, and again, I think they even do deals on if you do multiple tests and so on and so forth. So it's so much better than it used to be. So, yeah, to move on, I want to talk about dosing briefly, and I'll get Steve again to expand on this. So we'll talk about women specifically as a separate item. So it's going to be male users that we'll start with. And the recommended, what we call the optimal dose, the one that works for pretty much every single person, bar one or two of you that are listening to this show, would be 50 milligrams a day. That's 350 milligrams total per week. Remember what I said earlier on about comparing apples and injectables, etc. I have heard, and indeed my local gym owner is just about to start competing, of pros and specifically competing bodybuilders taking those dosages as high, but for short periods of time. And again, you have to remember this is part of an overall stack or cycle or prep for a competition, but for short periods of time, for up to, I'm going to say around about 100 milligrams a day. And again, that's specifically what my local gym owner is using. I'm not sure that I would need to do that myself. In terms of, right, and I'll let Steve expand on the bodybuilding and muscle side of things. I have used Anavar multiple times, and regular listeners to this show will know that I cite Anavar as amongst one of my favorite PEDs, full stop. Never mind injectables, orals, peptides, SARMs, or whatever else. Literally, of all of those things, Anavar for me would be one, number one, number two, number three, for various different reasons. I mean, but my main approach and my main reason for using it has been strength. So, for example, and I've mentioned this on other shows, I was not necessarily looking to gain tons of muscle. And on a sustained DECA cycle, I would bulk up. Still do. I can still put on 10 to 20 pounds. Back in the day, I would go from 280 to 300 on the sustained DECA. On the Anavar, I would never put on that much. Maybe over the course of 6 to 8 weeks, gain 5 pounds total. But that wasn't really the aim of the cycle. And I would, in fact, wasn't really that fussed if I lost the 5 pounds. What I was looking to do was maximize my strength. So at the end of the 6, 7, 8 weeks, whatever it was that I was cycling, I was as strong as I possibly could be. And I'm looking for another 5 or 10% over and above what I would be off cycle. And obviously I'm training specifically for strength when I'm doing that. So, but the 5 pounds was perfectly, you know, I'll take it if it's coming, baby. But I was literally, for me, looking to do, again, get as strong as possible, peak with the training and peak with the assistance of the Anavar to do so. And 50 milligrams a day has worked for me then. And I'm talking about 10, 15 years ago, Steve, and still works for me now. I might, maybe creep it up to 60 milligrams. But again, I don't need to change it too much. I know what specifically works for me. And in that particular regard, it's the same as the sort of advice we would give to the average person listening to this show that wants to use NFR specifically for those reasons. Now, I'll get Steve to expand on it, but we consider NFR something of a cutter. And I don't necessarily think it's a steroid that enables you to burn fat as so much, although obviously more muscle means more calories burned. So you should get leaner in that particular way. I suspect, like when we were talking about Primo recently, Steve, it's more anti-catabolic when you are cutting down. So you're able to retain more muscle tissue. If over 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 weeks, as I just said, you added 5 pounds of lean tissue, as I was doing, that would be absolutely fan-fucking-tastic. It's not up there with Debo and Andrew, but again, 5 pounds of lean muscle tissue is a lot easier to keep than 10 pounds of half water and half muscle that you might get with Debo or Andrew, for example. And you still get the advantage that I was looking for, which is that addition of strength. How, I know that you've used it in the past, Steve. How did it work for you? What was you trying to get out of it?
Yeah, and for me, the way I've used it in the past, I've used it either as a kickstart or a finisher to the cycle. And what that means, let's say I'll do a 12-week cycle of EQ, Primo, tests, whatever, any injectable. And then you use Anavar either the first 4 to 6 weeks to start or 4 to 6 weeks to finish it off going into cycle. So, there's a few different ways to use it. Let's start with males. We're going to get into women later. So if you have girlfriends or wives or something, or if you're a female that listens to the show, you're going to want to stick around for that because we're going to get into in deep detail about women. But let's stick for male dosing first. And I want to talk about using it solo. And, using Anavar solo is actually a good option because it does work well on its own, especially for those of you who are looking to build lean muscle mass and lose some fat. Now, we've seen some evidence that Anavar is one of the few anabolic steroids out there that actually can help cut body fat, especially around the belly. And part of the reason it does that is it increases your metabolism and fat oxidation and stuff like that. So that's very promising to use it by itself. But also, if you want to keep the side effects low, you want to get some good effects. Let's say you want to do like high volume in the gym. You like high volume, lower weights. Okay, let's start there. Although it is, as you've noticed, Mobster, it is great for strength. But I want to touch on that for a bit. The pumps from the Anavar are really, really good. Now, the problem with the Anavar, though, the flip side, is the pumps. And you would experience pumps in certain places. With me, the lower back pumps with Anavar were the toughest to deal with, especially when I do cardio. So if you're going to go, if you like to go running and stuff, Anavar is not a good idea. If you're a runner, if you like to run like a couple miles after the gym or something, you're not going to make it to a mile before you get some crippling pumps. Now you can use taurine and that can help, but it's not going to completely get rid of the pumps. But if you like to do like high volume in the gym, you like to work your abs, you like to do stuff, and you like to get that pump, your biceps and your abs and your calves, then Anavar is something that you're really going to enjoy running it solo. And I've seen guys run Anavar solo up to 125 milligrams a day. But look, with this Parapharma Anavar, you don't got to run it that high because it's dosed correctly. It's not 50% or 60% dose like those others where you have to jack up the dose. It's dose could. So really 50 milligrams is the sweet spot with Anavar, even a little less. You can go 30 to 40, 50 milligrams with Anavar and you still get really, really good results. And that's the way I've always run it. I've never needed to run it more than that, solo. So that's a great option. Now stacked, I've experienced stacking it. One of the best I'm gonna talk about strength now, Mobster, and I'm gonna have you jump in a second. But the best strength cycle I ever ran, where I hit personal records, was actually Anavar and Trend together. And the way
Wow.
I ran that was actually really interesting. I ran the Trenbolone at somewhere between 300 and 350 milligrams a week, which, believe me, the Parapharma Trenbolone, you don't need to run it more than that. That's plenty. Even
No.
250 is good. And then I stacked in Anavar somewhere between 30 and 50 milligrams a day. And let me tell you something. I hit all-time personal records in strength on that dose. It was very, very solid. I was very, very happy with that, with those results. So I was able to really smash my all-time PRs in the process. And I was also able to get really big. So it can, if you stack it, it can be very useful with some of these other steroids. And the reason Anavar is so effective as well in a cycle, this is why stacking it is doubly, triply, quadruply, if that's even a word, more effective, is because Anavar does a really good job of binding to sex hormone binding globulin. So it'll compete for those receptors, it'll bind to it, whatever the scientific way you want to put it. But the point is, it will drop that number down, and that's going to basically make the other steroids that you're using in your cycle more effective. So that's why I was able to gain ungodly amount of strength using Tren and Anavar versus I could have just used Tren or used Tren with test, right? And had more side effects and not as good results. I actually was able to get more results with Anavar. So Anavar is a great stack with Tren. So touch about your experiences with Anavar stacking it.
I was just thinking, Steve, as you were talking there, and I actually mentioned a little bit earlier on when I talked about my favorite bulking stack. And just as you were talking, I was thinking, I'm actually seriously tempted, because I go, how is it? I know how I bulk up on Sustendeca. I know how I bulk up. And part of that reason for bulking up is the leverage, same as on Debo. Right? So I get bigger all over. Therefore, the muscle, the water retention, et cetera, around my joints. So I'm just thinking, well, then why don't I combine that with Anavar? If I get strong on Anavar, if I'm able to have peak levels of strength on Anavar and be bulked on the leverage that I get from Sustendeca, then why don't I run them together? That's an idea for them. Maybe later at the end of 2024 as we record this show, maybe October, November, I'll do that, Steve, and give everybody a shout-out. To let you know, because if I get up to the ungodly as I did late last year, 336 pounds on Sustendeca, imagine me maybe just using 30 milligrams of Anavar, the same Sustendeca, which is around 600-700 milligrams a week of those two combined, and 30 milligrams a day of Anavar. They're still going to come in under 1,000 milligrams, which is perfect for me. I'm creeping up in the numbers a little bit. But again, keep that thing underneath the gram total, 800, 900 milligrams total for everything. Being the biggest I've ever fucking been, and with Anavar in the mix to give me that ungodly strength. I mean, it's straightforward, guys. I like everything simple in this regards. I go with what I've done with regards to experience. And again, it comes down to what you want to do. You can do size and strength on pretty much any steroid, same as you can do cutting on pretty much any steroid, and your diet as a trainer is a part of that. But there are optimal ways of doing things, obviously. So, for example, because I like things nice and simple and as safe, and I use that word carefully when we're talking about PEDs, I would probably look to something, like I said earlier on, Steve, very, very simple testosterone, 300 to 500 milligrams a week, there or thereabouts, maybe 600 if you've done a couple of cycles already, and somewhere between 30 and 50 milligrams a day. And the only reason I changed that from the 50 milligrams is 50 milligrams will be for, as Steve said, and this is the way that I've always run it in the past. I'm only running it with a couple of SARMs now, literally as we do this show, at 50 milligrams. So, but because I'm thinking of the overall dosages, et cetera, somewhere between 300 and 500 milligrams, maybe 600 milligrams of a testosterone, specifically one that you guys have run before and you got experience from. If not, and again, it depends on whether you're competing in AMP8, CPNA, any of those choices, keep it real, real simple. Now, you can obviously, and you come onto the forums and check this out, we've got other things for you if you, for example, have run stacks, run steroids already and want to cut, wants to add lean muscle, wants to get stronger, and so on and so forth. So, for example, again, I can see me again, just because I've never had great experiences with an MFA, but if I was specifically training for strength, I didn't want to get the size of a house, bulking up my muscle, Sustan Decker, the testosterone cycle with Anavar would be absolutely fine, Steve. What about, I mean, in terms of dosing and stacking and cycling, etc. I'm not a huge fan, as regular listeners know, with the whole kickstarting and finishing. It's the choice of the ester that you use that really comes down to the kickstart, how quick before it peaks in your system. Finishing makes more sense to me if you are competing, and especially on stage or doing modeling, when if it relies on your particular
Like some people too, like let's say you have a vacation coming up, you want to look
Yes, that's what I mean. You have to be ready by a certain day.
Yeah,
so that's exactly what I think is. Yes, yes. So for that, in that example, again, you might be tapering off on the testosterone. You might be thinking if you use a longer acting ester, it's just to come out, it's getting down to that half-life. You want to look really, really good. And you want to hold on to the muscle, and it's something else. The article talks about it being a finisher and adding extra polish to a physique. And I'm thinking, like I said, for a modeling gig, for the beach, like Steve said, and so on. So I can see finishers in the physique and how you appear making more sense to me. And NFR in that is going to shine, absolutely, Steve. So it's a way of what I'm sort of saying. We can give you simple examples, guys, but it will literally come down to your specific thing. For example, I wouldn't recommend it for MMA. I wouldn't recommend it for people that do CrossFit. So we could put together stacks for those, but the pumps that Steve talked about earlier on would be horrendous. So you definitely want something at the beginning, but if you've got a fight coming up, I wouldn't want to
CrossFit, actually, like, here's the thing with CrossFit, you know, there's good things about steroids with CrossFit and there's bad things, you know, like if you're going to do a lot of people think CrossFit, I think you're like this mobster. A lot of you, meatheads, you know, big meatheads. I'm just messing with you, but a lot of you big meatheads think CrossFit is just a bunch of running around in a big circle. But CrossFit, one big part of CrossFit is powerlifting and Olympic lifting too.
Oh yeah, they're throwing the weights around, Steve. I'm just thinking if I was competing, you and I both know, and I don't want any of these shows to ever be negative, but the pumps from Anavar can be absolutely crippling.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, so I'll give you an example, and I don't want to change the subject too much. We've done D-Bowl podcasts, and we've said there's a sort of almost a pleasurable pump, that sensation of feeling full on D-Bowl, and people actually say the D-Bowl pump is like a thing of itself. The Anavar pump, you know you've got a pump. And I've described using Anavar back in the day earlier in the show, but I've associated the same story that I've told before, which is me walking 1 mile into town, 5, 6, 7 pounds heavier than normal, and having to stop 3 times to rub my shins because the VAR pumps were crippling me. I mean, it's horrendously bad. And if the back pumps that Steve's described, I've done that with kettlebell workouts, ironically, conditioning workout. Some aspects of CrossFit, it does involve running around and lifting weights, but it's for reps and workouts of the day, and it has to be done in a certain time frame. So I wouldn't recommend it. Same thing for MMA. I'd want the strength and the power that VAR would give me, but the moment I'm working and I've been work rate, moving around in the cage, putting time on the map with the fights, etc., anything over 20 minutes, half an hour, I think the pumps would fuck me up. So when I'm talking about stacks and cycles, etc., this is the point I wanted to make. I'm more likely to be able to put something together for the listener on the forums specific to their requirements. It's absolutely amazing at keeping muscle on your body, absolutely amazing in terms of the strength that we talked about. Definitely something that can be used in the competition stack. But again, it's what else you're doing, what's your previous experience. For example, I say 50 milligrams, but I want the listener to maybe start at 30 milligrams purely and simply because they might find the pumps horrendous. Steve touched on it earlier on, using taurine to sort of negate the uncomfortable pumps. And that's to do with blood volumes and more oxygen uptake and so on and so forth. Just deliberating. But it's still number two, and it's still one of my favorites, Steve. Absolutely.
So how do you do cardio on Anavar?
That's a good question, Steve, and I'll touch on this now, right? Yeah. So I wouldn't want to run a 5K that Steve's discussed in previous shows. I'll tell you how I would manage it. So there are certain exercises. We all do this thing of jogging, whether it's a treadmill or outside walking. Same thing, treadmill or outside. But why don't you use the CrossFit bike, cross trainer? Why don't you use the rowing machine? Why don't you use other options? You've got the skiing, the ergometers. Why don't you do the stuff there? It's 5 minutes of blast, and then 2 minutes, 3 minutes of easing off, and then 5 minutes blast again. For example, if we were running, we'd run at a certain pace, and I think the crippling pumps would stop you being able to do that. But you could certainly go flat out on the rowing machine for short periods of time, and then ease off for a couple of minutes back down to a much lower pace, more comfortable pace. Let the pump dissipate, and then go flat out again. It's the work that you do in a certain period of time, and the increase in your metabolism, oxygen uptake, and so on and so forth, VO max, etc., over the period of the workout and after the workout, versus you necessarily needing to go flat out for 20 minutes, half an hour, or whatever else, and just not being able to do those kind of things. So, for example, let's take Steve. Steve likes to do 5Ks. I like to trail walk. So we would do a certain pace in the 5K, maybe for 3/4 of a kilometer, and then ease off to a much lower, easier pace for the last 1/4 of a kilometer. And then the same again for the next 4 kilometers, repeat. And that way you hydrate more, definitely take your taurine before, but still get your cardio in. The workout of the day with regard to CrossFit, Steve, I believe it's approximately 30 minutes to 40 minutes, and it's literally whatever the fucking workout of the day is. So sometimes it's going to be crippling, sometimes it's not. MMA ones, and I'll touch on that again, Steve, and it's all dose dependent and comes down to their experience when we're talking about stacks and cycles, but it's not always fighting in the cage, of course not. Some of it is literally practicing ground and pound. Some of it is for rounds, we're trying to cut the minutes, so you might be okay. But the work that you need to get into shape for MMA might be the problem that you would have with Anavar. So, I mean, it's not the same. Absolutely. Why is it number two? Because you retain muscle. Why is it number two? Because you get strong. So it's goddamn effective. There's absolutely no argument about that whatsoever. But again, I would prefer, when it comes to dosing, stacking and cycling, etc., let's see what you're doing. It is variable. It can be used across all the different things that we spoke about. But I want to know about your experience. I want to know your experience both with drugs and steroids and performance enhancement. Have you used NFR before? What was it being used for? Tell us about your workouts. Tell us about your diet and so on and so forth. So, you know what I mean, Steve? And again, I'm saying for myself, back in the day, 50 milligrams was actually made for me at that time, and only run for 8 weeks. I have zero problem with 8 weeks oral stacks. I know that the writer of the article is very keen now on shorter periods of time. You can run it for a short period of time if you're doing what Steve talks about with regards to kickstarting and finishing, because it won't be for the full length of a 12-week cycle and so on and so forth. So there's different ideas there. It's a little bit too easy to be the black and white in terms of the stories, the stacks, yeah, etc. But so many listeners have different reasons for using. That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah, and then look, other things you can stack it with, Primo Bowling. A lot of people like to stack with Primo. If you like just a mild cycle... Yeah. Just to focus on fat loss and lean muscle mass and that sort of thing, then you're going to love it with Primo. Equipoise is a good one you can stack it with. I'm actually going to be doing an Equipoise cycle. You guys can come on the forums and take a look at my log, and I'm going to be stacking it with Equipoise. And I believe this is the first time I've ever stacked it with Equipoise, and I'm adding a little bit of testosterone too to give the cycle a little kick. Not very much. So what I'll do is I'm going to do about 100 milligrams of test. I'm going to do about 250 to 300 milligrams of Equipoise, and I'm going to do somewhere between 30 and 40 milligrams of Anavar a day. And the interesting thing is with that is I'm going to basically see, you know, I'm going to see where things go, you know, on cycle. I might do the Anavar just for the first 4 weeks. I might do it for 8 weeks. It just depends on how my liver does.
I see you getting leaner, Steve. Steve's exercising condition year round.
Yeah.
Here's the thing
I'm going to be doing. Yes, I'm still going to be doing my fasting, time-restricted eating, and eating healthy and stuff. But I'm going to go a little bit away from so much cardio. And I'm going to be going toward more high-intensity weight training. So I'm going to be doing, and I'm planning on basically doing some you know, gymnastics as well. And I plan on doing a couple sets, maybe 2-3 sets of abs at the end of every single workout. I'm going to be doing abs. Right. So I'm still going to be doing cardio, but it's going to be less cardio centric.
Someone's getting ready for the beach.
Yeah. And it's going to be not only that, but it's going to be something a little different than what other people do necessarily. But I think a lot of people would would really like this. So I'm actually think, Mobster, I think I'll bulk up a little more than people think.
I can see you putting 3 or 4 pounds of muscle and getting leaner. And I know that Steve's stage and shape you ran. So I actually think this would be an interesting one to follow, listeners, because if just to give you an example, that's not a crazy stack. The numbers aren't silly. And I think he's actually going to look really, really good at the end of this one. I'll be Steve, you're going to have to do photographs before, during, and after. Definitely.
I've already put up some before photographs. So
Yes.
it's a really
Yes.
good sex. So let's talk about other side effects. We talked about the pumps, obviously. So watch out for the pumps. Use the taurine when needed. You should be on cycle support anyway. But another thing too is the liver and Anavar, because it is 17 alpha. Okay, it's a blessing. That's a good thing. That means it's not going to get destroyed by the liver. It's going to have to pass through, but it's also going to strain your liver in the process. So you definitely want to use a support supplement that includes, you come on the forum and find a good
Yes.
support supplement that not only has several different liver components, liver supplements to it, but also has taurine as well. So we have you covered on that. You want to do that. Another side effect, of course, when you're using Anavar, just like any anabolic steroid, is it will suppress your HPTA. So that's going to
Yes.
happen. So you do want to have a PCT after you run Anavar. And again, you can come on the forums, do some reading up on PCTs, check out the other podcasts as well on PCT. So side effects, some people have acne on Anavar. Anytime you fluctuate your hormones, you can get acne, but other than that, really the side effects on Anavar are much lower than other
Yes.
steroids. Like you're not going to feel like shit on Anavar, but if you take Superdrol, you'll feel like shit. You know what I'm saying? So it's not an oral steroid that's going to make you feel like shit. So I like Anavar for that reason. And that's part of the reason I'm doing this cycle. And a lot of you are looking like, wow, these are low doses. They're not harsh. Because I don't like harsh steroids at this point in my life. I used
No,
to
not at all. No,
run
no
the
need to.
trend. And I used to run Superdrol and stuff like that. But now at this point, that's not what I'm trying to do. So if you're not trying to do what I used to do and you want to do more like what I'm doing now, then Anavar would be a good option for you. And I have a lot of respect for Anavar because of the low side effects. So, I mean, really, that covers the side effects, Mops. Is there any side effects that you can think of that I didn't talk about before we get into the female
No, I don't
use?
think so, Steve. In fact, let me read something from the article. Just this, it says, and this is the quote. Oddly enough, it was actually prescribed for people with liver damage and alcoholic hepatitis. Studies show that a daily dose of 20 milligrams of oxandrolone, Anavar, used in the course of 6 weeks, only had a negligible effect on the increase of liver enzymes, and oxandrolone decreased hepatic acute phase protein. It goes up. And again, we'll link you to that in the sections for after this in the comments and so on and so forth, describing the episode that we recorded. But basically, as you can see, they're super, super mild. I suspect that's another reason why it's popular. And with the exception really of the pumps that we talked about, and the fact that, of course, it is still an oral steroid that's been treated in a particular way for the first pass through the liver and so on and so forth, it is as mild as they come. The person that wrote the articles only changed their mind a little tiny bit in terms of the safety, but that, as I said, is associated with dosage, length of time that you're using it, and so on and so forth. But when you hold it up against the others, and that comes from blood tests, people's experience, et cetera, with the exception of the pumps, I really can't think of anything else that stands out in my particular mind. Getting stronger, getting leaner, holding on to muscle tissue, and you've only got to worry about the pumps, and you can use an organ protector like we talked about with taurine, or take taurine on its own, and to negate those pumps on what. Make sure that you stay hydrated. You should do any oral steroid. It's good to go, Steve. Let's touch upon now, I think, the female side. I'll talk about this briefly and let Steve expand as usual. Right, so quite simply, and without getting too much into the nitty-gritty, we steroid use by women tends to differ from steroid use by men. That's an oversimplification, but it is what it is. And the issues of side effects on steroids, and this is orals and injectables, tends to be worse, right? So an oversimplification that I used to use back in the day is along the lines of men using testosterone to sort of super masculinate themselves doesn't seem to be too much of an issue. Me getting hairier, me getting leaner, me getting stronger, not that big of a deal. A woman looking to retain muscle, specifically as the female listeners, I would hope would want to be losing fat, looking leaner, pushing more weights in the gym, especially the athletes, the powerlifters, and those that compete in other sort of strength-related sports, etc. And obviously female bodybuilders, including figure physique girls that stand on stage, wanting to hold on to muscle tissue, wanting to have that muscular appearance. Even the fitness figure girls are going to have their broad shoulders, but you'll see certain lines of separation between, say, the quads and the hamstrings and so on and so forth. Little tricep development again. And I'm oversimplifying some of these comments, but just sort of trying to be less objective, perhaps, than need be. And the long and the short of it is, masculinated steroids that might enhance facial hair, it's not going to be good. Increasing the size of the Adam's apple, some of these issues won't reverse. So when we talk about steroid use in women, we tend towards much, much lower dosages. There are certain drugs that we would never recommend. I know that some physique girls and arguably even the fitness figure girls have tried certain cycles or had certain coaches work with them that have them on certain cycles. I think if you are competing, your attitude towards PED use, men and women, differs from the typical user, the person in the gym who wants to get in shape, get stronger, and so on and so forth. And we don't do these shows. We will sometimes give an indication of what is done versus what we recommend. So when we're in the forums, the number one steroid that we would recommend for women would be Allivar. Typical dosages, Steve, I don't think I'm too wrong if I say this is anywhere between 2.5 and 5 milligrams a day, maybe up to 10 milligrams a day. And I'd want the female athlete, especially if I was involved at all and giving advice, I would want them to go with a much lower dosage first. So, for example, Parapharma does a 10 milligram tablet as well as a 25 milligram or a 50 milligram, I think, a tablet, where you could split the 10 and divide it into quarters. So you could split the day, half in the morning, half in the afternoon, or so on and so forth, or quarter in the morning, quarter in the afternoon, that kind of thing. And it's the one, probably the number one steroid, all injectable, that's recommended for women. And again, like the majority of our male listeners, very few of our women listeners, female listeners, will be competing on stage. The great and vast majority will just be looking to get in shape, hold on to muscle tissue, but a little bit stronger in the gym, and just getting enhancing the way that they look versus standing on stage competing. Once you get into the competition side of things, the stacks for women can be, if not as excessive as men, certainly far more than Steve and I might recommend on these shows. What do you think about that particular subject, Steve? Because I don't want to bang that drum too loudly, but we do tend towards, you and I, the safer, the more sensible approach for both men and for women.
Yeah, and for both genders. Look, at the end of the day, a lot of women, we have people on the, some women on the forum that come on the forum, and I encourage you to do this if you're listening to this, and they're overweight. You know, they have a lot of body fat, and they want to use Anavar to cut body fat. And just like with men, that's not the way to go. You want to get your diet and training on point first, then use the Anavar, which is still a very powerful male hormone. And you want to use it later on. So for females, it's very important first to get yourself into good shape, start hitting the gym, start hitting the cardio, start doing... getting your diet fixed. It starts
be consistent. Yep.
I mean, you can take a picture of your pantry, your freezer, and your refrigerator, and I can tell you in 10 seconds if you're healthy or not, if you're eating good or not. And I can
see your shopping basket, Steve, or your trolley at the supermarket.
I can look at my neighbors down there. So my neighbors hate me for this. You can imagine being one of my neighbors. My neighbors hate me because I can go down the street and look in their recycle bin and call them out. I can see every week the recycle bin gets put out and the neighbor has two pizza boxes in the recycle bin. That means they ate pizza that week, right? I can tell if you're eating healthy or not eating healthy. And I have a neighbor that actually, he comes, he's like, Steve, you know, give me some advice. I'm trying to, you know, I read some of your books. I listen to you, give me some advice. I'm trying to lose some weight. And I'm like, I pointed right to his recycle bin. I see your recycle bin. I walk past your recycle bin. I can tell you're not eating right. And he like just looked at me like, oh my God. But like you could tell. So a lot of females have the issue where they go through stress, they go through depression, whatever, they have a bad day. And what do? They eat a lot of bad foods. They eat a lot of junk foods, you know? And that's a mistake a lot of females have to make. So you got to clean up your diet. That's number one if you're a female. Now, I agree with what Mobster said, somewhere between 2.5 to 5 milligrams a day. Some of your more advanced females can go 7.5, 10 milligrams, even 12.5 milligrams. But really, with good quality piriformis antibar, there's no reason to exceed that. And then the same thing with females.
And you'll get great results. Great results.
There's the nice thing with females is running antibar just by itself is all you need. You don't have to start stacking a bunch of stuff with it. Like, we're not here to sell you on a bunch of steroids. Oh, run 10 different steroids. No, we're going to tell you straight up. As a female, if you came to me and, you know, you had everything on point, you're ready to go, I would tell you just run the antibar by itself. Go ahead, Monster.
Yeah, I'd say the same, Steve. I mean, I'm aware of, as you know, the history of the iron game, and especially the last 15 or 20 years. And I've seen some of the stories of certain coaches promoting thyroids and different bunch of hormones, et cetera, and diuretics. And these were for girls that weren't quite ready for a show and so forth, and some terrible medical problems. But again, our shows are directed at 90 to 95% of our listeners being people that like to go to the gym and get into shape. I've been around women that compete in powerlifting. I've been around women that compete on in the bodybuilding and figure physique type classes, meaning, you know, just all, I've literally been at the Arnold on the stage when the figure girls came out, and they were like little Barbie dolls, Steve. But the beautiful aesthetics, the whole thing, little bit of cat muscle on a delt, et cetera, et cetera. And I know that sometimes the set temptation is to go hard, same as it is for male bodybuilders, male lifters, et cetera, et cetera. But I would be, Steve, 100%. I can't see me recommending, if I was working with a female athlete of any description, when it comes to PED use, going much over 5 milligrams a day. Maybe up to the numbers Steve said, absolutely. And even then, same as a male athlete, I'd want to see what their previous experience was. I would 100% want to make sure that the focus for diet is. One of the girls that I was with before ended up with a Welsh record in deadlift, for example. I've been in a gym with a competing IFBB pro bodybuilder, myself competing in the grip stuff that I was doing, and there was a figure athlete, and we were all training our fucking asses off, and the whole gym was kind of like focusing on us three nutfucks down at the front. And she is by no means a giant. She's actually kind of tall, that particular one, and in fantastic condition, all three of us doing what we were doing. And I guarantee, because I know what she does now, that she was not a heavy PED user. I've, even on the forum, Steve, I can only think of one, and she's not been on for a while now, from a couple of years ago, that had tried Tren. But she would be incredibly rare amongst recreational bodybuilders and lifters. So yeah, listeners, if you're female, 5 milligrams a day, focus on non-diet, focus on training. Women can actually train harder than men. Their pain tolerance, typically in the gym, tend to be more focused as well, Steve, kicking ass, going in there, getting their shit done and leaving, and not needing to do silly amounts of PEDs, wanting to retain a certain level of femininity, regardless of how muscular they get, both in strength training and bodybuilding. Figure and so on and so forth, and the manipulation of the diets, manipulation of the variables. The only issue, and we could probably expand on this another show, is that the menstrual cycle can sometimes change how you feel and how you respond through the month. So obviously, the heavier parts of the month, we might have to change things a little bit and lower the dosages and so on and so forth. That's unfortunate. Men obviously don't get that particular issue. So I tend to treat the female athletes and of any description the same when it comes to the gym stuff, but I might manipulate the hormonal variables through the month for that particular reason, and that alone, Steve. The dieting thing, again, and it's just my experience from working with female colleagues, is that they either miss breakfast or they miss lunch, and then you tend to don't realise that you're overeating, et cetera, in the latter part of the day. So that's the sort of thing that you need to focus on. Once you get that, and this applies to any of our potential clients, Steve, would be once you get the nutritional side sorted and you become more focused and more aware of what you're doing, you start to see changes straight away. Same thing with training, getting into the gym on a regular basis, not being distracted, etc. Again, men and women, 100%. And once you get those two things down, by introducing something like 5 milligrams a day of piriformis antibar would be absolutely, the results would be amazing. And the transformations I've seen in gyms over the years and with people that I've talked to and even clients, etc., have been ungodly, Steve. If a guy adds 5 or 10 pounds of muscle, he suddenly starts looks like an athlete. I have known women that have dropped half their body fat, half their body weight in body fat, and you wouldn't believe it was the same person. So women can do a hell of a lot with very, very little, especially if you're using a great source like Parapharma. So that's super, super important. Anything you got, Steve, before we move on?
No, that covers it. I think, look, at the end of the day, we touched on it a couple times already. The big, tough situation with Anavar is getting legit Anavar. That's been the problem over the years. And many of you out there who get your gear from a gym buddy, or you get your gear from a friend, or you get your gear from some random source that you found on Facebook or YouTube or Twitter or whatever, look, you're going to get ripped off, okay? Anavar is fake. I can promise you it's fake 90% of the time. So you got to make sure you get it from a legitimate place. So we know that the Parapharma Anavar is legit. Why? Because they've had their products tested, independently tested by random people. They've sent the products off without the source knowing. They sent it off. And guess what happened? They found out that the products were legit, And without the source's knowledge, they went and did this. So it's very important to make sure that you're using the legitimate Anavar. And that's one of the reasons we talk about these specific brands. These brands, we're not doing this for our health here. Like I told people, there might be 100 brands out there, and 85 or 90 of them are selling underdose or fake gear. That's just the facts. It's the facts of this unregulated industry that we live in and that we're a part of, and it sucks. I know that, but that's how it is. And it's just like the financial world. In the financial world, you can't trust 90% of people. You can't trust 90% of
Is the financial advisor rich? No. Why is it? If he knows what he's doing, why is he not rich?
99% of car salesmen you can't trust. So it's no different than this industry, but what you can trust is that a brand that actually has their stuff constantly tested. And Parapharma has proven that their stuff is legit. I'll let you get into it, Mobster. Why don't you talk a little bit about Parapharma?
Yeah, let me talk about very, very quickly the history of PDs in this particular regard, right? So this is quite simple. I'll expand on something that Steve just said. Right, so sources like Parapharma, and the reason why we approve companies like Parapharma, Steve and I have both used Parapharma products. I have run a Parapharma log, a cutting log, from one of their approved sellers. You can go on to the Parapharma site and check if the company that you're using, the one you're buying your Parapharma products, is one of their approved sellers. You can contact them if it needs to be added to the list. So you can check with them. That's great. So then you've got their testing, as Steve said, in-house, meaning they've taken products from the product line, sent it off to a lab, and it's come back. And you can go onto their site again, and you can check the certificates of analysis, the test results. We've had members of the forum at their own cost do the same and literally try to catch sources out that we recommended, and none of these sources failed. A couple were 1 or 2% off. Companies, brands, etc., back in the day, like Steve said, start great and then very quickly go downhill because they realize they can cut products, they can load those products, and they can increase profits. Some of those companies last 5 minutes, 9 months, 12 months. Parapharma has been around for a long time. You do that by building up a reputation. You do that by building up products that are not underdosed. You do that by having products tested both by yourself and independents. You then get to specifics, like I said already, with my own personal experience, or Steve's personal experience, and experience of other people. That's why we have listeners like yourself come on and ask who's used their Parapharma. Have you used this product? Have you used that product? They've got multiple products. Did you run this as part of a stack? Did you run this as part of a cycle? And so on and so forth. And you can you can almost see them, Steve, checking, I feel that this person is not lying to me. This is what's going on, and so on and so forth. It's important to me and to Steve that our reputation in the industry is based on us being straight with you listeners. So, for example, again, come onto the forum, look at the log that I run, my Mobster cut log with Parapharma that I ran before Christmas, and see what the results of that was. It ended up being recomposition, Steve. I'm still down on the waist size. That hasn't gone back up. So my belt is actually tighter now, although I've added a few more pounds since. So yeah, absolutely love their products. Tried the products, rate the products. And of course, you get to listen to this show. Go ahead and check for yourself. test them for yourself if you must. So, yeah, listeners, yeah, they're definitely one of our favorite proof sources. Please note, we are not doctors and opinions are ours. It's our view based on our experience and views on the topic. Our podcasts are for informational purposes and entertainment only. The freedom of speech and the First Amendment.